Dreams, Jung and You, and this particular session is on dream messages or how dreams guide you. And first I'll summarize for those who haven't been able to be here what I talked about the first session on why we should remember dreams. First of all, the Bible points out how important dreams are, and psychotherapy, it's essential that we have dreams. It's like x-rays, we cannot look into your unconscious. I can only see them, see what's going on through the dreams. And in my own experience, I found that dreams have spoken to me over the last 20 years and given me lots of messages, and some of them I'll share with you today. Jim Fish used the image of a mirror for the parables, and I use the image for dreams too. They are mirrors of the unconscious, and if you dream of mirrors, it usually means higher self-awareness. So if you see yourself in a mirror in a dream, it means you're becoming more aware of yourself. And then I spoke of the self and images of the self. The self is more than just the ego. Down there is the unconscious, which reaches out in time and space and is quite irrational, contains archetypes and symbols that I discussed yesterday. If you want to hear that, you better get the tape, because I discussed different symbols. And the psyche itself will, self-healing, will heal itself if given enough time. And today I want to talk about how the unconscious, which has the wisdom of the ages in it, basically, keeps beaming messages to the ego constantly, and the dreams are the means by which we hear these messages. We can also get these messages through myths and fairy tales, the same truths, and certainly in the Bible. But the Bible has other dimensions. It's super personal. It's not just for individuals. But the dreams are your own personal way of understanding your receiving station for what the unconscious is constantly beaming up at you. It beams good messages and warnings, and is constantly trying to tell you when you're out of line, when you're too much leaning one way or the other. It's quite amazing, because if you're overdoing it, getting too busy, the dream will tell you, slow down, slow down. If you're sitting back and not doing enough, the dream will say, reach out, do something. It will tell you which doors to leave closed and which doors to open and to explore in a house, for example. And in fairy tales, too, there are many doors that have to stay closed for a while. I'm always amazed at the wisdom that resides in the unconscious. Also, there seems to be a thrust towards higher and higher levels of integration. And I talked yesterday about individuation, the path of individuation, the path of realizing yourself, realizing your true self, which includes the ugly side, the shadow, which we don't want to look at, but we all have. So when you can recognize that you are not just all wonderful, pious, cheerful, but also nasty, mean, and ornery, if you can accept both sides of yourself, you can speak more truly from the center. And Jung uses the word persona for the mask or for the way we present ourselves to other people. We all have a role to play, and we put on these masks, and they're not necessarily bad. The essence of the problem, the way to wear the mask is to let it ring true, to let yourself ring true through the mask. Sometimes we wear a mask that doesn't fit, that then we feel uncomfortable. And in adolescence, we have to try on many different masks until we find one that fits. In fact, all throughout life, we have to keep trying on different ones, wearing different ones. We are at the same time a wife and mother and teacher and a therapist in my case, you see. And there's always a slightly different role that we play. But if the center is, if it rings, if you're centered, then you will be true and you won't speak falsely through any of the masks, you see. So similarly, the way to become more whole is to listen to your dreams and to learn what path you're supposed to follow or you're following. So the aim is wholeness. But if you are aiming to get there, it is just like Jesus said, if you're doing something for the reward will escape you. You have to accept the fact that you're being guided, but you cannot steer yourself in the direction too strongly. You have to let things happen. And again, the unconscious will guide you and not let you go out of balance. It's when you guide yourself by the ego that you sometimes overdo it, or most of the time overdo it, because you just don't have the wisdom. And if you overdo it too much, you'll get sick, likely as not. And I think we know now that excessive stress, more than draft or anything, will make you catch a cold. And psychosomatic medicine is just beginning to find out how wise the body is, and the body and the psyche both want to keep a balance. Our daily rhythm shows us what kind of balance we have to. We are awake and we sleep. If we go without sleep, you know what happens after a while. Similarly, if we go without dreaming, we don't have to necessarily remember them, but if we're deprived of the eye movement, sleep with eye movements during which we dream, we really begin to have psychotic aberrations, because there's something about dreaming that keeps you both sane and asleep. So there's another reason for recognizing the importance of dreams. There are a lot of paradoxes in dreams, and the stranger they are, sometimes the bigger they are, and also the more you should not edit them. It's very hard not to edit them when you start writing them down. If you just jot down an image, and let it sit, be there, probably just as well. They're quite non-rational. They're quite punny. They make funny little associations, and sometimes they make you laugh, and sometimes they really perplex you, and rarely do they make sense. However, if you begin to look at a series of dreams, they're built up like a drama, and there are the conflict or the problem is stated. It's not necessarily a conflict, though. It can be just a problem, or it can be whatever. And the resolution is already anticipated. I can't say that often enough. Each dream has within it the seeds of the solution to the given problem at the time. And the aim always is, in the long run, now we're taking a longer view, to bring the individual from one level to another level of integration and to wholeness. And wholeness is defined as healthy, unhurt, entire, perfect. And I'm always reminded of Jesus' admonition, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He doesn't mean perfectionism. He means strive towards that perfection, that wholeness, which is health. And this, again, is what the unconscious is constantly trying to help you do. It gets to be a very friendly thing, though it can be very scary. I'm not saying that you don't sometimes have scary dreams, that you don't get warnings, that you don't wake up sometimes in a cold sweat and all that, but most of the things are of value, and some of the sufferings you have to go through are the times of growth. And sometimes the arid periods when you neither dream nor have much piety nor much joy are the times when you're really moving, though you're not aware of it. And if you look back on your dreams, as I have done too much perhaps, you see that was already predicted, that it said you're going to go through a desert and dryness and darkness, or a dark labyrinth, dark tunnel. So the warnings are helpful as well. That's why I say the unconscious is really a wonderful guide, and I sometimes feel very strongly that the Holy Spirit speaks through the unconscious, and he's called the Comforter. What better guide could there be? So, are you ready for some messages that I have received in my dreams? So I'm going to lay myself wide open here. And then we could share some of your dreams, if you've had any. I expect as the weeks go on, everybody will be coming to me with all sorts of dreams. Last time when I was here, I got the nickname the Dream Lady. So, anyhow, remember that whatever messages you get, they are usually for your individual benefit. Well, now, again, I want to say that the dream doesn't say what you're going to do tomorrow. It often takes a long time for you to assimilate the message. The same theme will be told many different ways. I'm going to go through a series now. Back in 1962, I dreamt a dream that was very important to me. And it was at a time when I was not liking housework as much as I've ever not liked housework. I shall say, I hated housework. And in this dream, our priest came into our kitchen. Remember I said the kitchen is a place of transformation. And he took my hand like this. He said, Emily, you need to work with love and thanksgiving. Oh, that's easy. You know, that was basically the message. And I kept thinking, well, that's easy. But every time I went into the kitchen, I'd hunch my shoulders, I'd scrub away like this, sweat, hate it. It took a good 10, 12 years before I could ease up and start doing this. Suddenly, I was doing it one day in this circular motion, and a dream came back to me. I said, aha, now I know what he was talking about. And I've been working at it ever since. And it's much more pleasurable. And I don't have to hunch my shoulders anymore. So that dream was right there. It was very specific. Another time in 65, I dreamt, that was a big dream. I'm just taking one part of it. Of a huge stairway going up, and the cardinal, no less, cardinal, was coming down towards me, and I'm walking up very awed, and I curtsy. He says, what is your name? I say, Emily White. He says in a thundering voice, and why haven't I heard from you before? So, well, 65, this is 81. I hope people are hearing from me now, you see. So, at that time, I was bogged down with a lot of child raising and house duties. Back in 70, the dream of sitting in a circle very similar to this, dancing around and singing Shalom, peace, which is, it was a very, very meaningful one where we were all holding hands and saying this Shalom and Om in unison. And that was just shortly before I came to Holden the first time. And I don't remember who was here, but later this theme of peace has become very important, working for peace. At the time I dreamt it, back in 70, I was still, you know, busy at home with the more immediate tasks. I hadn't seen the... I hope I was raising the children as peacemakers, but I don't know. In 75, I dreamt of a castle that was lit, brilliantly lit, and there was a queen inside, and it was interpreted to me by my analyst that it could well be that I was being given a crown and queen. This is a symbol of the self, you see. So I was getting a little closer to realizing myself, and it was a very wonderful dream and had other sides to it. Incidentally, often when you dream these beautiful dreams, there will be a little side, a little vignette in there, which will be things like going to the bathroom or digging in the mud. As I told you the other day, this man dreamt of digging in the mud and finding gold and silver coins, because it's in the mud and in the muck that you find the treasure, you see. But I don't want to go into all the details. I'm just giving you sort of key examples of how messages are conveyed. In 78, I was in a room with large mirrors and, you know, self-awareness. And now there were warnings. Similarly, I give you some of the other side. I dreamt of diaries and journals tumbling ahead of me. That was back in 65. I couldn't catch up. And I was always running after them. Sort of frustration dream. Another warning dream was in 70, where I had to walk around a black asphalt in the street so as not to get my shoes dirty. It meant take a path around. And that is often a very important message that you get. Don't go straight, but go around. Take not a shortcut, but a long cut around. And at that time, I was trying to take all kinds of shortcuts. As I look back now, I was really trying to cut through things, and it was telling me, walk around so you won't get your feet dirty. And another warning dream was when I was riding a bicycle down a steep incline, riding something down or going down a steep incline very fast. One bicycle handlebar came off and I had to hang on with one only. It was mighty difficult. And I almost fell. And it was, you know, a warning that I was going over rough terrain, which at the time I wasn't aware of, but very shortly thereafter things were falling apart for a while. So anyhow, those are two kinds of dream messages that I personally have had. Another very meaningful one was lighting a pilot light so that other people could cook. And I've had this in various types. So it was such a recurrent dream that I thought this was meaningful, to light a light so that other people can turn the burners on into fullness, you see. Light, whatever that means, you know, inspiring people to do something. And Jung said, our task is to keep the light burning against the adverse blowing winds. So if you carry a candle, shield it against the blowing winds. And that everybody's task is to keep their particular light burning against pretty adverse winds, but it can be done. And if you listen to your dreams, you may get some help. And I'd like to open it up to discussion. I've talked enough about myself. Anybody got anything they would like to share at this time?
No? This isn't sharing a dream, but I wanted to ask a preliminary question. I think it's a rather simplistic one. You say that it's our unconscious sending signals, messages to the ego. How do we know it's that, rather than our dreams being expressive of things that we're thinking about? I mean, when you were talking about several of the examples you used, I could have thought that you were actually thinking about those things and that the dreams are expressive of that rather than the other way around, conscious to unconscious rather than unconscious to conscious.
It's a good point, except that the flow of energy, and this is a theory, and this is what we're going by. The flow of energy is from the larger to the smaller, from the unconscious to the conscious. The unconscious can influence the conscious, but not vice versa, not really. Because the conscious is so small. I should have a good example, but it's awfully small. And the reason we have a conscious ego is that we can deal with the outside world, you see. Now, of course, your dreams will reflect what you're thinking about, but those are not the big dreams. The big dreams have a different kind of quality. They are numinous. they really almost don't have to be written down, you see, because you'll remember them anyhow. When I say write down your dreams, is that you'll get into the habit of listening, you see. The numinous dreams have a quality that you just sense. They just sort of shake you. And when I dreamt those dreams, I was not in the place that they were talking about. I was quite baffled, you see. That's another sign. So I think, basically, that it does come, it moves this way from the unconscious up.
I was curious what you think about things like self-hypnosis and giving yourself suggestions. You feel like you could influence your unconscious or...
Oh, it's we do it a lot, and it's quite possible. All the positive thinking, all these things, I'm getting better every day, and a lot of things are influencing the unconscious. And you can, in your waking life, do this. Maybe that's my answer. But not in your dream life. They're very similar, but I really don't think I can go into it right this minute. Did you have a question?
In relation to the previous question, how do you know that, for example, the dream about the detour, you took as not a prophecy, but as a suggestion for your life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that that was a suggestion for a way that you should go, rather than, like he was saying earlier, an expression of something that's already happening with you?
Uh-huh. Well,
I mean, that's what I see as a key question of interpretation.
Yes, yes it is.
You know, whether it's a message for a direction you should go, or whether it's an expression of where you're at, or what is going on with you already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you took it as an indicator for the future, or for a new move.
Yeah. The reason I could corroborate this almost experimentally is that I also have diaries that go along, so I know what the conscious situation was, and I know what I was doing then. I was shortcutting, constantly, shortcutting. And the dream was telling me this. And because I have, you know, been gone through analysis and analyzed all these things, I think that I'm on pretty safe ground when I say this was before the fact and telling me what I should do rather than what I was doing at the time, you see. But there were many little dreams that were not relevant to this, you see. I'm pulling out big ones. Also the theory that Jung, who also worked with his dreams over many, many years, he saw that these things happen in the same way, and he wrote extensively about how dreams compensate for your conscious situation. And sometimes it's very enigmatic and hard to see, and sometimes it's very clear. You see? So, anyhow, that's how I'm interpreting it.
I have three kind of joint questions.
Okay.
And I missed part of this other before, so stop me if I'm making you repeat anything. So I'm wondering what the symbolism is for rain or windows, and if you would dream the same dream over and over and over again, if that means anything particularly.
So the three things are rain, windows, and recurrent dreaming the dream over and over. Rain can often mean purification, water coming down on you, or see what else. Depending on how heavy the rain is, it can just be a difficult time you're going through. If it's a downpour, you know, it's something you get drenched. It can also be that you're actually drenched. You see, it's not always so clear. You might be terribly hot in the middle of the night, and suddenly, you know, you feel this wetness. So, depending on the context of the dream. Windows, depends. I mean, looking out on a vista. Yes, looking out on a vista is also, again, looking out into perhaps the future, where you're going. Depends on what you're looking. If you're looking out into this beautiful countryside, it's sort of like Alice in Wonderland when she opens the door and sees ahead of her all this beauty. And recurrent dreams, I mentioned that they do come, that the unconscious is trying to tell you something. So if you are not listening, it'll send you another message. And certainly if the theme is the same, it means that this is something that you really should be dealing with. And we all have recurrent dreams that are kind of important, in fact, both good and bad. You know, I mean, warnings as well as positive messages. Anybody else? Yeah?
This somewhat relates to what you were talking about in the kitchen. I had a dream this fall about a person that I'd known in a writing class, and I dreamed that he had a beautiful little wooden sailboat, and he was going to sail off down the coast in it, and he asked me to go along. I started out sailing, remembered that I felt like I should be back, asked him to let me off, got back, realized I should have been sailing off with him, and by that time the wind had blown him too far away and he couldn't come back to get me. And what I arrived at was that he was a person that was very much like me and that I was very attracted to, that I never developed a relationship with for that very reason. And I get the message out of the dream, and the message has been spoken to my conscious, but I find myself doing it over and over again. I've done it just again recently. And does, I mean, how long does it take before your conscious...
How long? I feel like Martin Luther King. How long? That long? Very long. Too long. I can't tell you how often I made the same mistake. I'm telling you how often I went to the kitchen. You know how many meals I was doing. How many years? 14 or something like that? 12 or 14 years? That's a long time. Depends how open you are, how much you want to change. See, there's your conscience. You can say, I really want to change this behavior. Then you can add this willpower, you know, and speed up the process. And also, it depends on the depth of the problem. If you get help, support from your friends, it's easier than if you do it all alone. So it depends. But it's not a fact, it doesn't go overnight. Change is slow, but change is almost inevitable. And I feel so guided somehow, and I hope you feel the sense of comfort that you can get from the unconscious guidance, because there is a path that is right for you. And there are many obstacles. It's been written about and spoken about and preached about forever, that you have to find your unique path that will realize your potential. That if you go against that, you'll be frustrated, you'll be anxious, unhappy, in varying degrees. And so I'm hoping that most of you will find the path that's true and right for you. Yeah?
Two types of things. As long as I can remember, in any dream, even since a child, I've never been able to run away from danger, or if I want to get somewhere, I can't run. And I'll be running, and so I'll turn around backwards, and I figure, well, that'll help me. And I don't think I've ever been able to run in a dream. Is that anxiety, or what were you saying about running?
Sometimes, yes. But if you cannot run...
I can run, but it's just so slow. And then I have to stop, and then I'll crawl, and then I'll turn around and try to go backwards.
Well, you know, it's hard to get away from whatever's troubling you, and sometimes one can't. Maybe at that time you cannot yet. Or maybe you are also possibly, and again I'm coming back to the physiological thing, maybe you're lying in a position where your legs, circulation in your legs has gone out, because they did an experiment where these people couldn't run, and then they woke up and their legs were asleep. You know, so that's so common. That's why I say that I wouldn't make it into a too big a psychological thing, because sometimes there are physiological things. When your arm falls asleep, your leg falls asleep. Those things have to be taken into account. So you can't just always make it into a...
The other thing, I guess it doesn't matter if it's a message dream or not. I know... When I was in college, I was teaching swimming, and I couldn't figure out, this is reality, and I couldn't figure out how to teach this woman how to do the scissors kick. And on the side stroke, and I just was thinking about, what did I do? And one night I went to bed, and I dreamed of the perfect, you know, the answer.
Thank you. That I was coming to that, because a very famous example is man who invented the benzene ring?
Yes.